Hallelujah. Amen. Lord, we do again submit ourselves to you. We do submit the gathering together this day unto you, O Lord. And the word, Lord, we submit that to you. And Lord, we ask that your unction would be on that which is heard, O Lord. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, there's a continuing progression of the revelation of God that has a beginning and it just keeps on going as far as man is concerned. There's a revelation of God in Genesis, in the beginning. And Brother Bert has shared much with us concerning in the beginning was the Word. And there's a continuing revelation also of the things pertaining to the tabernacle. We go back to Moses for the pattern. And yet the mysteries of the understanding of this continues on. And we want to go into the book of Revelation today. And see what other things God would reveal today. Now, I don't know how many times I read that little passage in Hebrews, the 9th chapter. About the golden censer, it was called. In other words, in God's terms, this golden altar, almost as big as this podium, is to God, it's also a golden censer. And it is a very holy, a very sacred thing that modern church, modern harlot religion has made a mockery of this thing. Use it in their abominable rituals. But as I started to say in this passage in Hebrews, apparently I had overlooked what Paul was saying here, in that the golden altar is now it's no longer behind the veil. In other words, it's no longer in the holy place, separated from the Holy of Holies.
Nga,
wala naging siya'y tapil or naipunan niya dito sa pinagmamalaan na David.
So Paul was already having a revelation of things that were more fully revealed to John in the book of Revelation. Now, in the fourth chapter of Revelation, it does not expressly mention the golden altar. But it makes mention of the, shall we say, the four beasts. Let me make a little drawing. Let me read it first, and then we'll make a little drawing. Start in verse 7, and it says, "And the first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf, the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle." It's verse 7. Chapter 4, verse 7.
Chapter 4, verse
7.
Kung ang unang marnap sama sa sakaliyon o ang kalubas sama sa kanating baka o ikatulong naruligan ko ay kasama sa tao ikawad na marnap sama sa usap kananagupad na gila.
Amen. And the next verse it says, "And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." Because then when these beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat upon the throne, who liveth forever and ever. So let me make this little picture again of the four.
Ato sang dalawang linian o kining upat ka mga klase nga mananap.
And among the four, we have first of all we have the eagle, right?
Ang upat no sa ilang upat niya mo nagi.
I know this isn't the order. This isn't the order that they're given. Okay, I'm just giving them in the order that I remember them. We have here on the bottom a calf. We have the lion over here. Lion. And what's the one over here? Man. And what do these speak of here insofar as the aspects of the human soul?
Basta kay Iglesia mao kapitan o kanang iya nga karatang kong alingin nagrepresentar o raga.
the lion. The lion is the emotions. And here we have the will. Now when you see these same beasts in Ezekiel, this calf wasn't a calf, it was an ox. And with the man, the desires. This is why we have a shopping mall. Because a man has many desires. In particular, a woman has many more desires. Well, perhaps. What did you say? Yeah, perhaps. We men think that we're simpler, but probably our desires are more expensive. Amen. Okay, and then here we have the mind. Now, what we're doing is we're taking everything from the old picture of the tabernacle. And we are, I'm drawing the original tabernacle here, where the altar of incense was here. And the goal of our journey, shall we say, the goal of our coming into the kingdom is here. It's the mercy seat, it's the Ark of the Covenant. So the golden altar is the place where the man yields as a sacrifice his soul to God. And if he has trouble with his emotions, if you're given to depression, if you're given to bursts of anger, if you're given to fear, or you can name many, many more, this is, you give them to the Lord. You overcome them. You overcome your willfulness. You submit your desires. You submit your mind thinking. And that means overcoming some things that you were taught about religion that is not according to the Word of God. Some things that the church taught you. Submit it to the Word of God. Let the Word of God examine it. And if it's not right, you need to let go of it in your mind. So we see the picture here. Over here, we see what needs to be done. In order to come before the throne of God. What needs to happen is that this needs to come into the nature of Christ. So if we come to the nature of Christ, the image of Christ, we're not going to be Christ, but we can be perfected. You can go about your day and you do not need to sin every day. You can overcome the wicked one. You can overcome the flesh. You can overcome the world. You can overcome the devil. Now, amen. Amen. Now, what we read here in the fourth chapter of Revelation, it's not quite the same picture that we have here. This soul, this incense that was given here at this golden altar, has been found acceptable at the throne of God and now this human soul is seen as these four living creatures. And it is before the throne of God now. It is in the very presence of God. And it says, continually, day and night, they are giving praise and saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." Now, when it says day and night, you understand that there is no day and there is no night, so it's somewhat of a metaphor, I suppose. Even if we were to talk about eternity or talk about heaven and say that something is going to be 24/7, there is no 24/7.
naatay pinulungan na mayingon na 24/7 kung ipasagot na 24 oras sa loob sa city kasimana city kaadlaw pero di sa itinidad walay ingon ni ana.
There will be no clocks counting 24 hours.
Wala ani kay orasan nga atong mapasihan sa eternidad.
There will be no calendar counting 7 days of a week.
Dili sa makatuk kalendaryo, dili siya makatuk aniya.
All right, so as we come into Revelation now, we see that these other pieces of furniture are no longer seen in Revelation. These are not found anywhere in Revelation. In fact, I'm not finding this or this. But I am finding the golden altar and I am finding the ark. So let us take a little look now at what we find of the Ark of the Covenant, the golden altar in Revelation. By the way, before I do, can I digress just a little bit? I'm not going to preach Revelation 12. But who do we find in Revelation 12 in the very beginning of it? The who? The woman. Alright, now I am a great artist.
Okay.
There. Oh, we have to give her long hair too. Okay. All right. In the womb of this woman, what is going on? Man-child.
Okay.
But you know, it's not, as we speak, it's not a natural baby, man, child, is it? It's a picture of something being formed in the Holy Place Church. And in order for something to be formed in the womb of a holy place church, it has to start off with a seed, does it not? So the seed that is growing something in the womb of the holy place church is this message, this word that we are preaching to you.
Amen.
It is called the gospel of the kingdom.
Amen.
nga sabot ni nga nga Dios dai naadi ha sa nagari sa iyang gingharian.
So let me draw a little picture of what's being formed in the womb of this woman.
Ato na sa nga imulatway kung sa panangapong padre sa taguangkan sa bawang babae.
What do you think that is? It's the soul. It's what? It's Christ being formed.
Amen?
How many of you have read the pattern? Do you remember that in the pattern? It's been a while since you've read it, hasn't it? Go over it again. This woman is a picture of the Holy Place Church, and this is being formed within her. Now she's also a wise virgin. She has oil in her lamp. In the spirit, she has oil. She has oil in her vessel. She has oil in her soul. So how are we overcoming these things in our soul? By the oil. By the Spirit. That means that you are allowing God to change you. If you are resisting, if you're holding back, if you're pushing back against what God's Spirit is trying to do, you're not going to be a partaker of what we're talking about. Now, let me go to the next passage here. We're going to look in Revelation chapter... let's look in chapter 5. Now remember this golden altar, this golden censer, shall we say, was a place where the incense, which is prayers, were offered up to God.
Ato makit-an din niya, hindi nga mao nga isinso, kanya ito na itong pakaso-aso, itinig yung tihimok nila para kayo dito sa paghalag na ito sa Diyos.
Now in chapter 5, verse 8.
Sa kapitulo 5, versikulo
8. It says here, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts, that's the creatures, and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints.
Hallelujah. O bulawan ng mga panaksan ng puno sa mga pahod na maho ang mga panuhampo sa mga bala.
Now I know that it says vials. It says vials. But these are nothing like the vials of judgment.
Pero kinisya ng mga panaksan sa kasuko.
It sounds to me like little sensors. So it says that these human souls before the throne of God have prayers that they are offering to God. So your prayer life is not going to be finished when you cross over from this mortal into eternal immortal. Your gathering together with other believers is going to continue on with an even greater crowd of praisers. And this is going to be the best praise that you have ever, ever experienced. I was blessed this morning at this last praise, this last song. I really felt like we were really beginning to reach in to a spiritual place which is probably available to us now. In other words, God is not preventing us from coming in. Amen. It's our own flesh, the only thing that's holding us back. And I'm included in that.
Amen.
All right, so they're golden vials full of odors. Full of incense, in other words. And lest you think that I made a wrong interpretation of the meaning of incense, it is described right here, which says it is the prayers of the saints. So before the priest could come before God on that Day of Atonement, the holy place had to be filled with the prayers of God's people. You do not approach such a mighty, holy, powerful God in a light and casual way. If this again tells you something about the style of your worship, let it be heard. You cannot come in such a way as the world would come in their music. Now, let me go to the next verse here, which is in the next chapter, Revelation 6. And we find now that the seals are being opened. Brethren, there are hidden mysteries still in the book of Revelation. There are things that I do not yet understand. But that is not going to stop me from talking about them. Because this is the way I begin to understand when I begin to open them and expose them to my mind and to your mind. So you see that the Lamb is the one who is able to open the understanding of these mysteries. And so Jesus is opening up the fifth seal. I don't know if you had it available to you or not, but sometime in the recent past, I talked about these first four seals, the horsemen that were being released. One of the things I just want to point out very briefly, in the fourth seal, take note of this, in the fourth seal, this pale horse was given power over to kill one-fourth part of the earth with a sword. What do they say the earth population is today? 7 billion? Let's say 8 billion to make it math easier. 8 billion. And one-fourth of 8 billion is what? Here, let me write it in red. 2 billion.
1/4.
That's a lot more people than a bombing at an airport. That's a lot more people than a nightclub in Florida. Do you understand what I'm saying? We're talking about some bad things coming. In the midst of this, let us hear what the prayers of the saints are in heaven. And should we not be in agreement with what the prayers of the saints in heaven are? Alright, let's read the fifth seal. It says, and when he had opened the fifth seal, that's verse 9, I saw under the altar, now one version says at the foot of the altar, but I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. All right, so here's the golden altar. This has to be the golden altar. This is These are the souls of saints, and they made a sacrifice at this place. They not only sacrificed their souls, but what else did they sacrifice here? They gave everything. They gave their life. I remember I was about 30 years old. Nobody was teaching me these things. Most of you are less than 30 years old and you're hearing these things. But I remember saying to somebody, I wonder how I could get among those souls under the altar. I'm not sure I knew what I was asking. But there was something that was attractive about the cry of these souls.
Adunay makita nimo dinha ang nakapa kignat nakapan nindot sa imong paminaw pamati maka mahitungod niya nga mao nga pagtapos kala.
Now, and it says in verse 10, and they cried with a loud voice saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Heavenly people praying for the situation on earth. That great cloud of witnesses that is probably here somewhere in this area that are surrounding us are also crying to God. Now in particular, these particular souls are martyr souls. And what are they crying for? How long? How long? Lord, we gave it all. When are we going to see the fullness of the kingdom? Our life was cut short. Some of them, their life was cut short when they were very young, like you. I have in my bag here a copy of a testimony of a young couple from Belgium, Antwerp, Belgium, in the 1500s. They were arrested and put in prison and condemned to death because they were believers in the Word of God. It was the Roman Catholic Church, the priest that had them arrested.
Yeah.
Their sin was that they had a Bible. They would not yield to the Roman Catholic confession. They would not yield their children to be baptized by the Roman Catholic Church. They would not yield to the harlot priesthood. They weren't violent about it. But they were taken by violence. The man was put in one prison, his wife in another prison. They had been married for less than a year. The young woman in her 20s carrying an unborn child in her womb. He wrote a letter, and somehow that letter was preserved, encouraging her to continue in the faith and not give up. She bore a little baby girl child. She wrote a long letter that would be the heritage of this child that she would never raise. My dear daughter, we want you to know that we have laid our life down for Jesus Christ. We hope that you will come someday so that you will understand what I am saying in this letter. And it was a letter preserved. I don't know how it got preserved, but these letters have been found and preserved for us today. Do you understand why they are crying to God? You see, I'm not 20 years old anymore. I don't have my whole life, so to speak, ahead of me. Perhaps I wouldn't make the same cry. And yet I hate that wicked system. And yet I would say, how long, O God? How long until you bring retribution? What does retribution mean? It isn't the same as I want to take vengeance because I will do eye for eye and, you know, that's not what it means. It is an appeal to the most righteous judge of the earth. And we are saying to the judge, there is a debt that needs to be paid. So they are crying for what is going to amount to a great tribulation on this earth. Oh yes. When this great tribulation comes, it is going to be partly the prayers of saints and martyrs that have gone before.
Siguro kabahin na kini sa ilang mga pag-apo kini magkasakitan ng lao, kabahin na kini sila sa ilang mga pag-apo kanto sino.
Because they know that a debt must be paid. And in verse 11 it says, "And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said to them that they should rest for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." Hallelujah. Now, if you want to take the opening of these seals in a chronological order, it is only after this sixth seal, then before the seventh, that we have the mention of the sealing of the sons of God.
Ang makita niyo diha ayon na yung mga pagmarka na ayon na yung mga ipakita mo ni dihanapin sa dili pa pagmarkahan ang patatusan ng mga anak sa Dios.
And remember, there's a description of that sealing also in Ezekiel chapter 9. We read that yesterday. How are you going to be sealed? How are you going to avoid the angels with a slaughter weapon? You are going to be among those who are sighing and crying because of the abominations among the house of God. In other words, you're going to be wearing sackcloth. Now let me go quickly to the 8th chapter. And we do come to the 7th seal now. And let me read the first 5 verses here. "And when he had opened the 7th seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Okay, now we'll start with verse 2. "And I saw the 7 angels which stood before God, and to them were given 7 trumpets." Go ahead, read that next verse. "And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne of God."
Aron siya kayo buhala dini uban sa mga pagpambo sa tanang kabalaan diha sa bulawan ng larang na naatubangan sa trono.
Now notice that where is the golden altar?
Ato kimanan, asa malapit ang gulakan ng
Yes, it's before the throne of God. No more veil separating the golden altar from the throne of God. Where are the souls of those who are sealed? Right there, before the throne of God. Where are the prayers coming from? The incense, it's going with the prayers. It says in verse 4, and the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth, and there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Now, you know that these prayers, I don't know what you think your prayers are made out of. What do you think happens when you make a prayer before God? Just a sound that goes out? Do you believe that your prayers are spiritual and that they have spiritual substance? Do you believe that if you were in the Spirit that you might be able to actually see your prayers? As well as hear them? I must have been in the Holy of Holies when I was nearly dead with a heart attack. Because I saw your prayers. Well, Brother Mark, what did they look like? Well, I was in the Spirit, so I can only tell you what they looked like in the Spirit. I was here. The throne of God was here. Throne. I couldn't see the throne. Me. People praying. And this is what I saw. I saw these prayers. I saw them like that when they went past me. Some of them were fat. Some of them were fat this way. They got thick, they got thin, they went up, they went down. And I, as they came past me, I heard what people were saying, and I recognized the voices of people that I knew. In other words, I heard people that were more than 1,000 miles away, and I heard their prayer while they were praying, and I knew that that prayer was going straight past my ears to the throne of God. Now, what this angel here has in this censer, the prayers of the saints. No, did I read the fifth verse here? Yeah, okay. So what this angel did, amen, with this fire, first of all, the prayers, the incense went to God. But the fire was something different. I believe that the fire has something to do with the Spirit of God, and he took this fire that was on this altar, which means it's holy fire, not strange fire. And he cast it to the earth. And there was an immediate reaction on the earth. Thunder, lightning, voices.
Yeah.
So once again, the influence from heaven influencing things that are happening on earth. You know, God can influence our political events on earth. In such a manner that his kingdom will come to pass. Now let me go to Revelation chapter 9. Alright, so we're talking now the angels with the trumpets. And whereas the opening of a seal is the revealing of mysteries, the sounding of a trumpet is the announcement of the Spirit of God, and it's the Word of God coming to begin to cause it to take place.
Ang pagpatiyog sa mga trumpeta ng Kilisya ang pagpareha o pagsunti ngato sa dapat tingin kininiyayutan.
So let us read the we're looking at the sixth trumpet now, chapter 9.
Kapitulo 9.
And start in verse 13.
Sa Kristo ng Kristo na nasugod.
And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. Again, you notice that the golden altar is before God. Now, I find it interesting. It doesn't just say that these are tribulation or martyred saints. It says that this voice now is coming from four horns of the golden altar. So in my carnal understanding, I would say, well, how did John know that these voices were coming from the horns of the golden altar? Because I believe that he was in the same place, a better place actually than I was, that he could actually see these voices. He not only heard them, but he could see them. So help me out here now. There are how many horns?
Four.
What is the meaning of four? It means tribulation. In fact, it means also the human soul. So the cry from the golden altar is a cry of tribulation from the souls, shall we say. And it's going to cause what? It's going to cause tribulation on earth. Saying, verse 14, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Amen. So now the cry from the golden altar is what's going to release these fallen angels that are bound at the river Euphrates. Where is the river Euphrates? Where's your geography? Where is it? What country? It's in Iran, isn't it? Iraq? Iraq, I think it's Iraq. It doesn't matter. What does it really speak of? What great religion is this river Euphrates. Islam. So in other words, right there in the very core of Islam are evil fallen angels that have been bound there for I don't know how long. Maybe since
sabta na to bi ay ka ipaskay na gabi ta diya sa Islam desa na ani nga ani pahimutan kya upat ka mga agi tagasanghi abo tong pinakatuloy ko.
Maybe since the days of Nebuchadnezzar.
Siguro kita ba ito sa panahon dito sa Nebuchadnezzar?
What did these spirits want in the days of Nebuchadnezzar? They wanted world dominion. Now they come with a different face of Islam. And they still want to devour the earth. You know what that spirit is very, very well. You know very well what it's like here in the island of Mindanao. So the question is, has this happened or is it going to happen? If you had asked me right after 9/11/01, I would have said, well, this was a, what did it say? A day and a month and a year. Amen.
I would have.
I would have said, it looks like that spirit has been released. I know another man, I don't know him personally. He's a man from England. He has a different opinion. He's a good man, by the way. He's an evangelist. He said that he believes that these spirits were released during what they call Desert Storm, when the British and American troops crossed the Euphrates River in their invasion of Saddam Hussein's kingdom there that time. Well, in retrospect, there has certainly been a measure of release. And yet not a full, no-holds-barred release has yet been manifest. Let me read the 15th verse and you'll understand what I say. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. So it sounds like something a lot more clearly manifest than what we have seen yet. I don't know what kind of argument I could give. It would be futile for me to say, well, maybe only one of them is released, or maybe they're gradually being released. But it doesn't sound like that, does it? It sounds like a very quick, sudden, all hell break loose kind of release. And in saying that, you have to realize if they're being released, then something has been holding them back. The hand of God restrains all things. All God has to do is open His hand. He is so almighty powerful. And what is the result of their release? Who's quick at math here? What's 1/3 of 8 billion? 33%? 2.33. Oh, 2.3? Okay. Let's put 2.3. What's that amount to?
4.3.
That's more than half the population of the world. That sounds pretty bad, doesn't it? These are two different numbers. I don't think they're the same number. And so let me just go on here. The next two verses, just for interest, the next three verses, and the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, and I heard the number of them. That number is 200 million.
200 millones na.
It's a pretty big army.
200 millones na. Kinagat ng mga sinaluha.
Yeah, there's that many. Islam has that many. It says in verse 17, I'm not going to read the whole thing. It says that there were out of the mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. It says in verse 18, and by these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire, the smoke, and the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. That sounds like modern military firepower, doesn't it? Bombs, guns, smoke. Yeah. Okay, one more, then I'll quit. Chapter 11. I'll stop after chapter 11. There's more, but I'll stop. Good place to stop. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein.
But isama sa usa ka sungkod ug ang anghel mitindo nga nagayon tindo ugsot ra ang templo sa Dios kon malaran kay kanila nagasimba niya.
In the next verses, but the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Measure the temple. And them that worship therein. In other words, he's saying, measure the holy place church. But leave out the outer court. What's going to happen to the outer court church? It's going to be trampled underfoot by the world armies, systems, destroyed, death. This is how many, many outer court Christians are really going to be saved, is by this process here. Okay, now, just a little comment yet. We're talking still about golden altar people. He didn't say measure the golden lampstand. He didn't say measure the table of showbread.
Wala siya gisugo sa pag suko sa kulawan na alaran diha sa suka bisag kanito sa kananan.
He said, measure the people who have been doing this business here at the golden altar.
Igon siya, suka lang ang mga tao na nagahimo niini diha sa alaran na kulawan.
Now, how will you be measured? Now, remember, this is a man who is being told to measure a holy place church people. Not an angel. Not an angel. So God has given authority to an apostle
ato makita nila na ang Dios naghatag sa iyang kagahom sa usa ka mga tawo nga paglumala.
God has been giving a measuring stick.
Ang Dios naghatag kaniya og galamiton or baston
to an apostle. Shall we say that he has given him an apostolic message? And how will this apostolic message measuring rod measure you? God knows the dimensions of this in the natural. You're going to be measured on how this message is received by you and what it is going to do to you and what it is going to do in your soul in your response to it. We're talking about the last 3.5 years.
Palayo kita sa pagtuon diha sa katapusan sa tulo ug tunga ka tuig.
If you are of that church, you will be measured.
Kung kita nabutang manyana nga mausiban na kita, sugdol.
If you want to be among the sons of God, you are being measured as we speak. Let us pray, Lord, that I might measure up. Amen. I believe that's enough for now.
Ako po magkana siya, ibu-ibu na nato, nakakusok sa isa ito.